To be the best, you need to play with the best. You might not have your own personal high-level circle of women yet, but you can hang with us on the Female Millionaire Show. I'm Midori Verity, serial entrepreneur for over 25 years, and I interview badass female founders and cut through to what you really need to know. So in 20 minutes, you have what can take years to learn. If you're wanting to play bigger, come play with us. Join the Female Entrepreneur Revolution today. Cheers. All right, all you foodies and travel people, you want to hear this recording because I have an amazing woman with me. Her name is Liz Philpott. She is the founder of Eat Seattle Tours. So she's based in, obviously, in Seattle. And Liz, we were talking about before we hit record of how you and I both went through this in Europe as we were traveling Europe. And it's so fun to go to another country and be part of their culture. And food is kind of food, and for me, wine or cocktails is what gives you a better feel for wherever you are. So I love that you brought that back and you have that right where you live. So talk to us about you know, what made you decide, hey, I'm going to start this company?
Yeah, so 100%, and so happy to be here. Thanks for having me. So in 2014, I quit my job, my corporate job, and I traveled to Europe for a year. I lived between Montenegro, Croatia, Italy, the Netherlands, and France. And through that time, I spent 1 to 2 months in each spot. And I wanted to connect deeper and faster, right? When you're abroad for a significant period of time, you need connection. And I love food. I have my culinary degree and it's always been part of my life. And I wanted to seek that out. So at the time in 2014, food tourism was really up and coming. There was a word for it, at least. And I was able to find chefs to do cooking classes or market tours. And some were home cooks and you would just sit with them and drink their limoncello and have great conversations and learn the best places to go. And it was very organic and very genuine. And I think at the time, there was still that stigma of a tourist, you know, tourist traps, and you are designed to go to these museums and you're designed to eat these places. And otherwise you can't really touch that authentic aspect of being a visitor. And so when I came back to Seattle, I wanted to try all the experiences available here. And I just did not find that, yes, there were historians and there were performers and it was fun, but with the depth of food that we have in our fishing industry and our grain industry, I wanted to talk to the chefs. And I thought, I have a culinary degree. I would love to connect with other people in this field. So I recruited a team of chefs and we decided we're going to tell the stories of these small businesses in Seattle. And we started with Pike Place Market because there's a lot of wonderful small food businesses who really are too busy to tell their story, and storytelling is so important. And that is what we did. And that was 9 years ago. In fact, it's our anniversary, our workiversary.
Well, yeah. Congratulations. Happy workiversary.
Thanks.
Okay. So you said that you also, now I know that you have this Eat Seattle Tours. I'm thinking that you're going to restaurants, but do you also have a division where people can go into people's homes and learn how to cook?
When we started the company, we did have a division of cooking classes and then the food tours. During COVID, the cooking classes were very difficult. Confined spaces, germs, fire, alcohol, knives, need I go on? It was not safe. And so we ended up dissolving that part of the business, which ended up being very positive overall because we could focus on the food tours and expand our partner network there and create a few more experiences. So great question.
I was just in Napa and I wanted to do a cooking class and there wasn't any around. And I think that probably most of the companies experience what you're going through. But one thing that I want to hit on is when we're starting a business, especially as women, it's so what I've seen, the people who I've seen be the most successful are those, especially for women, are those who connect with what they're passionate about or motivated by. Their zone of genius is in that area and they're totally motivated. by it, right? That's part of their core values. And that sounds like that's what you've done.
I have, and it honestly feels like the holy grail of jobs to be able to align my passion and work with such incredible people on our team is, and then our vendors and really support them and their network on social media and in our storytelling and experiences. It's extremely meaningful to me.
So what ha so it's awesome that you have created a company that you love. However, I have yet to meet someone who has not gone through some major challenges as they're growing their business. So let's hit on that. Is there like one story that you've had that has been, well, you kind of talked about when you had to get rid of you cut off the one division of your business. But you tell me, what has been kind of the most significant challenge that you've experienced?
Well, there's so many, and I think a lot of entrepreneurs face similar challenges. First being, nothing's perfect before you launch. You just kind of gotta go into it. And I think as women, that's really hard for things not to be exactly how you want them to be represented. But I think you make the most progress when you launch into things and then you tweak as you go. And so I think focusing on just getting things out there is huge. In terms of challenges, I mean, I think leading a team and managing people is never easy because I always want to make sure everyone is comfortable and doing what they love and excelling. And so that's kind of a new role. And when I started the company, I was just, it was scrappy. And I was doing the tours. I quickly realized I was a terrible public speaker and needed to work on that. And just through the passion, I was able to get better at it, though public speaking is still difficult for me. But yeah, I think then transitioning to the role of more management than operations of actually executing the tour is huge. And then, partnerships and all of those things that kind of come up, and then that voice that's always like telling you, you're not good enough or you're not perfect. And surrounding myself with really good mentors has been a huge boost. And also sharing vulnerability with other entrepreneurs who have the same voice in their head, imposter syndrome, whatever you want to call it, and just going for it.
There's a lot of things that you just mentioned that so many of us experience, right? The imposter syndrome, the perfectionism. What was that term that they say where I can't think of it right now, but where you kind of freeze because you want it to be so perfect. And you mentioned like you just do it. Even though it's not perfect, you just do it and you just reiterate and fix it and improve as you go. And that's so critical. Despite where we are in our business. And then you mentioned some other things. You talked about people, managing people. That is in and of itself. I'm in California, so California is not known for being the most friendly for small businesses with staffing. And a huge part that I have found from owning businesses for almost 3 decades is knowing where we want to go with our business, knowing what our culture is that we create, what's important to us, what our values are, and making sure everyone is in alignment with that. When that's clear, I have found that we have brought in a better team that's more cohesive and they want the same things. They want to see the company grow because they're in alignment. I'm guessing with the type of business that you have, that that has probably been a factor as well.
Absolutely. I'm part of the entrepreneurial organization, and one of the things I learned is creating core values, and everyone can be aligned on those or not, and it can be a compass for succeeding on the team or not succeeding on the team. And that has been something that's been incredibly valuable to our team to see kind of where they're falling and how they're doing, which they're all on the team, so they are doing well.
That's good. So what's next for you, Liz? What, you have this amazing business, thriving business in Seattle, Washington, but what's your next, are you thinking about what the next stage is for your business? Are you thinking about scaling? Or are you kind of like, you know what? We're good.
We always have to push ourselves. There's a voice in my head It's like you're comfortable is, do you really need to? And then my other part says, well, if you're saying you don't need to, then you need to lean into it, right? You're like, I kind of don't want to do that. And then you're like, you better go do that. That's what happens in my head. And so every year I want to make sure we're launching something new. So right now we're working on a happy hour tour that will be launching in April. We have a really awesome lineup of partners. So we'll be highlighting the Seattle downtown and South Lake Union neighborhood, really great small businesses and their cocktails, and have a lot of fun with that. And so it'll also be offered on a time that we're not necessarily meeting right now for our public tours. So most of our public tours operate in Pike Place Market. Pike Place Market is pretty much closed by 5 p.m. So we can't really operate much after 3 p.m. So finding something where we can do early morning, which is our coffee crawl, and then evening with our happy hour tour kind of meets another time point, right? And maybe people from the East Coast are coming in and they're just like, I'm ready to do something at 8 o'clock in the morning. They don't have many options. And with our coffee crawl, we meet that. And so hopefully with the happy hour experience, we'll meet that demographic as well. So in terms of the next year in 2015, I have definitely considered Portland as an option because, gosh, I just went there recently and their food is so great. And there is so much love and small business and chef-owned places that I think we could support with our storytelling and social media and all of those things. So that's certainly on my radar, but I always want to make sure that our team and our guests are always safe completely. That's kind of where I like to look is what neighborhoods feel the safest to launch into walking around, et cetera.
Interesting. I wouldn't have even thought of that, but that's something you have to be in the business to even think about that that
Yeah.
is, I mean, obviously it's a factor when you say it, I'm like, oh yeah, of course. But yeah. And okay. So I want to back up for a second because you talked about the people that are around you. And I have two kids. When we first launched our very first business, which was almost 30 years ago, I was so excited. It was going bonkers. It was really busy from the very beginning. And I would start talking to my kids' friends who are my friends about it. And you could see their eyes kind of glaze over, right? They could have given a crap about what I was talking about. And they didn't understand it. They didn't care. And so, and then for us women who own these businesses, it's a part of us. It's one of our children, really. And so it's difficult to find the right people to share it with. How did you find your tribe of people that you can share the good, the bad, the ugly, and just what you have going on in your business?
Well, I'm sure many of the people you interviewed have told you, and you know yourself, it can be lonely, as a leader of a company because you can't share everything with your team. And having the EO group is a huge part where we can be vulnerable and get to the bottom of what's really going on in a safe place with no judgment. That is invaluable. If it's not EO, there's other types of business organizations available in different areas. And I highly suggest that people look into those because whereas it seems like a lot of work, we literally meet for 4 hours once a month, and we have to shut our phones off and everything, and it's so hard to be disconnected for that long, but it's so good for you too, right? You're putting all of your energy in working on your issues, listening to other people's shares, and I think that creating that space and that time is very important for growth.
I agree, right? And we get so busy running our business and doing the do that it's so common to not set aside that time where you're getting creative and you're learning new things that someone else did that spark just that right angle that will help you take your business to the next level or solve a challenge that you're having. So I am a huge proponent of carving out time for that. So EO is a great organization. You do need, so those of you who are listening, you do need to be at a certain financial level to be part of EO. Fuel the Fire. We have a few different groups that we have the Millionaire Track, and then we have those who are trying to get to the millionaire, or not trying, who are working towards getting to the millionaire track. And so anyway, but you just got to find the right group that fits for you, that brings out the best in you. And I think that's the critical part of it.
It is, and I think like anything, you just got to try, because you might go to a therapist, for example, and it might not feel right. It doesn't mean all therapists are not right for you. It just means maybe that one's not. So I think just going in and sort of, as we were talking about, just launching into things and just seeing if it works or not, and then making the tweaks accordingly.
Completely agree. So, Liz, where do we go to find out more about your business when we go to Seattle?
Yeah, well, eatseattletours.com is our website. We have all of our tours listed there. Again, the happy hour will be listed in April. And then social media is a good place to see lots of photos and see our team and what we're up to. I manage the TikTok account. That's been interesting. And then Jessica on our team runs the socials on Instagram and Facebook. So we're constantly learning.
I am. Social media has not been my thing. I thank God I have someone who's helping with that. But yes, well, congratulations to you for TikTok, because that's one I have not mastered yet. So go check it
Well,
out.
I don't think I've mastered it either, but it's worth trying.
It's all a journey, right? You can
Yeah,
only get better. Thank
absolutely.
you so much for being here. And I look forward to coming up to Seattle. I'm here in Sonoma County, so it's a quick flight.
Yes, please come and visit, and Sonoma's a great place as well.
Yes. Yeah. I was just thinking you should probably open one right around here, because that would be cool
Yeah,
for us. But
maybe
yeah,
I
who knows? We'll keep talking.
will.
Thank you so much, Liz.
Thank you so much. Until next time.